Let me guess. You've downloaded this podcast because you like two things: free content and supporting local businesses. What's better than a free show like this? A podcast that helps you save money. And that part is thanks to our local loan originator, who is also nationally recognized. Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation is who you need to call if you're looking to buy or refinance. 2 years ago, I did a refi, ended up saving hundreds. And guess what? Interest rates are still low. Why not just call Ashley and get a quote? See for yourself. And as a thank you from us for supporting an amazing partner, if you get a quote from Ashley and mention the Triad Podcast Network, we'll send you a $25 local business gift card of your choice. So trust Ashley to provide you with everything you need for a simple, rewarding home loan experience where personal service with experience, speed, and satisfaction is her number one priority. Ashley McKenzie Sharp, NMLS ID number 100776, is a licensed mortgage originator in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Florida. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS ID number 2289, Equal Housing Opportunity.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.
All right, everybody, welcome to another episode here on the Triad Podcast Network. We're excited to bring you another Ginther Group Community Spotlight. We're so thankful for the support that the Ginther Group gives us to be able to continue to do these podcasts and highlight things that are happening in our community. And as a part of today's spotlight, the folks at the Ginther Group have introduced us to Sarah Burns and Billy Feather, who are organizers of this year's FemFest. So thank you both of you for joining us. We're going to learn more about FemFest, the origins of it, this year's event, how it what it does to support people in our community. But let's just begin with a simple introduction of the two of you and how you became involved in FemFest and what your role will be this year. So let's start with Sarah Burns. Love to get to know a little bit more about you to start off.
Sure. I became involved with FemFest 3 years ago when founder Bryn Hermanson asked me to come on board as a donations manager. I basically handle the raffle and art auction. This year, after her unfortunate passing, kind of led the team going forward is what we'll do.
All right. So Billy, before I get to you, maybe we just back up for a moment. And I'll ask you this question and then maybe transition into an answer to tell us a little bit more about yourself and your role, but maybe begin with just what is FemFest? Tell us about it. What should we know?
Sarah, do you want to go first?
Sure. So FemFest was started back in 2014 by Bryn, locally. She wanted a platform for, female-led dominated musicians to kind of showcase their power while also raising awareness of domestic violence and sexual assault. 100% that is raised is donated to the local domestic violence shelters through family services.
And I think Bryn started FemFest because, like Sarah said, there wasn't an avenue or a venue or anything showcasing female artists in the area, and that she thought it would just be an excellent reason to link up with the domestic violence shelter, which she was very, very passionate about, and link us all together to create FemFest. And so now it's been going on strong for a long time, and I've been a participant of it since the very beginning, which I'm really proud to talk about. And so, yeah, it's been a success every year, I believe, and it just keeps getting better and better each year. It is unfortunate that Bryn hasn't been able to see where it's headed to now. I really wish she was, because I feel like this year we've got a really strong lineup and we are keeping it COVID safe as much as we can by making it a virtual event.
Sure. So I want to get into the event here in just a moment, but you know, you've mentioned her name a couple of times as this is really her creation in terms of coming up with the local version of FemFest. As you both told me before we hit the record button, FemFest happens in a lot of places around the country, but she was the one that was able to kind of bring it to this community. But you know, it was such a tragedy earlier this year when she passed. And but tell us about her and you know how she really kind of threw herself into this mission and this event, and how the two of you became connected with her and now helped to try to carry this forward in a great way. Billy, I'll start with you.
Okay. I met Bryn through the local music community years and years ago. It's funny because it's back at the Garage, which was a local Winston-Salem music venue, which I still miss very deeply. I felt like it was an incredibly important part of our community, where it allowed bands to kind of grow from, you know, basically like on a weeknight, you would come in, play an open mic night. Maybe you would then move up to another weeknight, a little closer to the weekend, finally end up with a weekend show. So you're able to grow your band and the community of fans and people you would interact with while at the Garage, which I thought was really wonderful. And it was through there that I met Bryn. We met in the audience and she came up, introduced herself, and we became super fast friends. I was really drawn to just her entire way of her manner of speaking, the way she interacted with people. She was always so incredibly kind. She was also very honest and when needed to be very blunt. But I really respected her ability to, you know, stand up for what she believes in and not compromise, but not in a way that was offensive, but in a way that really just, you know, helped everyone understand where she stood. And again, really became an advocate for, you know, a lot of people that didn't have a voice or weren't strong enough to have a voice. So this is all through my interactions with her and meeting with her over the years. And Bryn was a small person in stature, but someone that really commanded a lot of energy and presence. That was something that really struck me about her. And especially in a bar full of people when everything's going crazy, Bryn was one of the first ones to come up to me, like shake my hand and give me some very direct feedback about what was going on stage, which always led me to really admire her. So yeah, just an incredible human being, champion for everyone. And then when she came up with FenFest, it just seemed like a perfect fit. And again, at first she was like, I'm going to do this. And I was like, okay. And then, you know, kind of like, this is a big undertaking, a lot going on. But Bryn totally turned right around and made it happen. And that's always been something I've always admired about her, is she definitely put her words into action.
Sarah, what about you? How would you answer that?
Yeah, well, everything Billy said, for sure. Bryn was just the most genuine person. She was a friend to everyone. She stood up for everyone when necessary. She, like Billy said, she gave FenFest her all, and she did it by herself for the first 5 or 6 years, completely by herself. Amazing person.
Yeah. So now, as the two of you kind of take on a larger role with this event, I'd love to hear each of you talk about what this means, because the mission is to help, like you said, survivors of domestic abuse, sexual assault, and being a voice for women who maybe don't always have a voice, don't feel like they have a voice. Why is it important for each of you? Why is that mission? Why is being an advocate for those people important to each of you? I'll start with you, Sarah.
So I myself am a survivor of domestic violence. So the cause is very personal for me. I learned in some family services training that I did that you can basically either be a victim or a survivor. And that's after the fact. And I clearly remember the day that I went from victim to survivor. It's kind of the moment you acknowledge your power and that your abuser no longer has a hold on you. So I just really, I'd like to spread that message as best I can, while also, you know, helping these shelters, which are safe spaces for women to go, have the funding that they need so they can continue to operate.
Billy, what about you? Why is this important to you?
So I, like Sarah, am a domestic violence survivor. And I love talking about it because I feel like it can really happen to anyone. It happens to very strong, intelligent, incredible women. And so it's not something that just happens to, you know, I feel like sometimes domestic violence survivors get painted in a light that maybe they're weak, or maybe they were, something happened in their families and their upbringings. And that's just not the case. It really happens to everyone, and it happens across the board to just tons of different communities and groups. So I'm really a big fan of raising awareness for all of it. And also just to help those that maybe aren't ready yet to speak up. I think there was a long time when I didn't feel ready to speak up and didn't know that there was a community that would rally behind me. And I think that hopefully that's what FemFest does for, that's my hope for some people, is either for people that are survivors that feel like, I am strong, I can keep this going, I don't have to be, you know, put into these situations again. I can realize the warning signs and my triggers and know more about myself and what triggers me. And also, like I said, to people that haven't yet come out of their situations, to see that there is a massive community of people that are ready to help you, ready to embrace you. And I think that, to me, that was such a big deal, especially in the first FemFest, which was about the time that I was kind of coming out of my domestic violence. And I just remember standing up on the stage and seeing this large group of people all cheering, knowing that some of them went through exactly what I went through. And it hit me incredibly deeply. After that, I was like, that's it. FemFest has to keep going. It has to stay strong. And that was something else. Whenever Bryn passed away, I reached out to Sarah. And I was like, we somehow, let's keep this going if we can, or whenever they were ready to do it. I wanted to very much be honored or honorable to the family's desires and to Sarah's desires. She was involved in the administration for longer than I was. But again, I'm so glad that we are able to keep this going. I think Bryn would be so thrilled. And again, I think it's so important. I mean, one, to showcase women bands. I think that is incredibly important still in today's environment for all of us to get together and have a community. Again, also for domestic violence victims, families, and survivors.
I appreciate each of you sharing that. I think that provides really good insight into the power of what you all are trying to do, and having the personal experience with it, especially. Sarah, you mentioned spreading the message, and Billy, you kind of illustrated there how you were able to receive that message through this event. Sarah, I'll start with you. How does FemFest convey this message? How does it specifically try to reach people that might need this based on what they could be going through at the time?
So we definitely, throughout the year, not just during the events, I try to, you know, share informational content from family services or from some of the other organizations, especially ones that are local to North Carolina. And then also, we always keep family services very much in the loop. So if they have anything that they can share with us that we can pass along, including videos, which during our live event, or I'm sorry, our virtual event last year, we made sure to include a video that they had produced for us, sharing information about resources and everything else. It's also, I found, you know, when I have conversations with businesses about raffle donations or artists about their art donations or and the musicians themselves, I've had a lot of people share their story with me. It hits close to home to nearly everyone that is involved on any level. And then also at the show itself, I know Bryn was always really great about giving a kind of speech, which we will definitely be showcasing her speech from a couple years ago during this year's event. And then hoping that we can also share some of our own stories and content, but definitely passing along the resources, I think. That's the most helpful because people are just unaware of what's out there for them.
That was well said. But Billy, anything you want to add to that?
I was going to say, as far as spreading the message, I totally agree with everything Sarah said. And also, I don't think there's a day that goes by that I don't mention FemFest. So I think part of being a musical artist in a community or a teacher is part of it's a service and advocacy for something you believe in. And while I would love to like be able to be an advocate for everything that I think is important out in the world, I feel like FemFest is the one thing that I can donate like a lot of my energy to. So I'm constantly talking to artists about it, constantly talking to my students about it. And like Sarah said, Bryn was also great about spreading the message during the event. she would put out pamphlets from family services around the events. If you didn't feel comfortable talking to someone, maybe taking a pamphlet would just trigger like you to kind of do something about it. And like Sarah said, there are so many things out there that we don't know, or so many people don't realize exist. So I think the more that FemFest says like, here's a resource for you, or the more that we share videos on our Instagrams, their Facebook pages, to be like, hey, this exists, this is here, please, you know, take advantage of this.
Yeah. So let's get into the actual event. This is the 8th FemFest, and some of it is happening right now. So tell us what's happening currently as we're recording, and then all leading up to the big showcase next month. Billy, I'll start with you.
So I know right now the art auction is going on, which Sarah is a part of. So I'll be happy to let her talk about that. Sure. I know right now too, we are currently, we do have some bands that are, so what's going on this year with it being a virtual event is we have some bands that will be recorded live at the Ramcat, and it will be spaced out. There will only be the bands and the crew there. We'll have a small area for some of the family services people and for our donors to come and visit if they want to. It's definitely in a balcony far away from everybody, so everybody's staying masks and being as COVID safe as we can. But then there are bands right now that are currently recording their performances. We have asked each band to do a 20-minute performance. I believe that's correct, Sarah. I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, a 20-minute performance for their slot. And so they're going to send us recorded videos, some we already have in. So yeah, there's a lot kind of in the works now before the main event.
All right, so tell us about the auction, Sarah.
Yeah, so this year's art auction features about, I'm gonna say 15. It's still growing. We still have artists reaching out that would like to donate a piece. They're all local to the Triad this year. The content, sizes, medium of the art varies greatly, which I love. Our good friends at Tattoo Revival in downtown Winston-Salem have offered their gallery wall, where we are hanging all of the pieces from now through November 27th, when the auction ends. It's basically a silent auction online, with, you know, various starting bids, and obviously if someone was out of town and they won something, we can ship it also. So kind of opens it up. I know last year with our auction, I shipped art to Wyoming, Philadelphia, California. I mean, it went all over the country, basically, which was really exciting too for the local artists.
Yeah. All right. So where can, if people want to check out the selections, make a bid? You mentioned it's all online, but there is a place where they can go and actually see it. Where can they find the place to submit their bids?
Right. So it's femfestnc.betterworld.org.
Okay.
Also on that site is our virtual raffle, which includes many, many items donated by local businesses in Winston-Salem.
Okay, we will make sure to put that link in the show notes so people can click on it right as they're listening to this. You can just, right on your phone, just hit the link in the show notes and you can go right there and check out the selections. And yes, please make a bid. Billy, tell us about when is the main event and how can people watch?
Sarah, correct me on the date. What's our date?
November 13th.
Cool. November 13th. That'll be the main event that, yeah. I think my mind is so busy thinking about the Ramcat event, which will be November 7th on a Sunday. So I'll be a big part of that, where I'm kind of working with the bands and getting everything together. So yeah, that's our main date, and they can watch online. It will be on YouTube, on FemFest YouTube channel.
Okay.
Which you can just search YouTube for FemFest NC. And Sarah, correct me if I'm wrong with that.
No, that's correct.
Yeah. Okay. And you can also see last year's FemFest too, I believe, is still up there. So, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Well, this has been really helpful. Is there anything else, any lasting message you want to give to people that are, just learning about this for the first time, and I'm one of them, or B, people that know about the event and want to know more about what this year holds. So let's start with I'll start with you, Sarah. Any final words that you want to give to those that are just now discovering what FemFest is and what its mission is?
So I think the main thing is to recognize that 100% donated, all of the funds we raise are given to Family Services of Forsyth County and allocated to the local domestic violence shelters. So we are not profiting in any way. We donate 100%, which feels great every year. And last year, I believe they said the amount we donated in 2019 helped push them to where they needed to be when COVID hit and their shelters were so full. So it may not be, you know, a ton of money, but it it helps. Every bit helps.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's great. What an awesome mission. What a great event. Y'all worked so hard clearly on this. And like you said, your good friend and tremendous advocate Bryn would be would be so proud of what this has become, especially this year. Billy, any final words that you want to add for those that that are certainly learning about this for the first time, or those that may have experienced it in the past and, you know, are looking forward to this year's event?
Yeah, I think this year is a wonderful year to hop on the FemFest bandwagon, because it is, COVID has affected domestic violence incredibly. So I think coming out of the COVID pandemic, we will be seeing a stronger and stronger need for places like the domestic violence shelter and education. So by all means, we're excited to have new and wonderful people come and visit us and talk with us. And I would say just stay connected to us via our Instagram and our Facebook. And again, you can always reach out to either me or Sarah through the FemFest Instagram or Facebook site, and we'll be happy to connect you if you feel like maybe you want to donate something or have a band that would like to perform in a future year or just want to help and volunteer. You know, reach out to us and be connected. We're excited to grow the FemFest family.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was going to be my last question. Is we've given the link where they can bid on auction items, where they can buy raffle tickets, where they can watch the main event. But you were able to answer the question of, if people just want to be involved with it, they can reach out through your social media channels. That's helpful. Sarah Burns, Billy Feather, thank you both so much for not only being on the show, but for being a part of this wonderful event and the cause that it supports. So thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck on the rest of the way getting, it should be a lot of fun. It is virtual, but getting a chance to have the bands at the Ramcat and getting that ready for the main event. That's really cool. That'll be really cool. And we want to also thank our sponsor with the Ginther Group for connecting us to Billy and Sarah and being able to spotlight FemFest on our podcast network. So thank you all for downloading, and we will talk to you again soon.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode on the Triad Podcast Network. Our mission is simple: provide information, advice, and stories about the people and places that make the North Carolina Triad such a great place to be. You can find us by searching Triad Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you like to listen. If you like what you heard and want to support the show and those that contribute, we would truly appreciate a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. It helps spread the word along, as do your shares on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Triad Podcast. To get in touch with us, simply email info@triadpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.